these guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio on this icy day. If the ice hasn't found you yet, it will soon. So let's go overseas. You know, Davos is going on. It's been a rough year for Davos. Donald Trump isn't there. Theresa May isn't there. President Macron isn't there. But our very own John Najarian is, and he joins us now live on the phone line. John, thanks very much for joining us from Davos.
Well, great to be here, and you're right. The place isn't quite the same without those three. President Trump was the first president in a long time to attend Davos, but then when he, because of the government shutdown and problems back home, decided not to attend and then ultimately pulled the U.S. delegation as well, Macron and Theresa May figured they have some problems back home.
I think they do.
They needed to address.
Luckily, you're living the carefree life and you're free to go.
So I don't know about carefree, but it's a very fun time to be here because of the access to so many bright people, smart investors. I mean, it is a very cool time to be in Davos.
I saw that you were seated on a panel. You posted a picture on Twitter at John Najarian. I was interested in that. But also I see that you managed to find some time on the slope, so that's always good to take in the natural beauty while you're there as well.
Absolutely. Boy, and I had not skied here before, Steve. I've been lucky enough in my life to ski a number of great areas in the United States as well as Europe, but this mountain is pretty spectacular. And the vistas from the top of the valley and so forth, it is breathtaking.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what's going on at Davos. I mean, is this something that we sitting in Chicago or Schaumburg or Frankfurt or wherever, is this something we should care about? Is it relevant to us?
It will be. It'll be relevant to you because there were, I think I counted, 11 different panels on artificial intelligence. Generally, I'm not saying Davos always leads. I'm not going to be that presumptuous, but they certainly are at the cutting edge of a lot of what the general public will be learning about. They've always been involved in global warming, of course, and it is an economic forum, so they're looking for ways to make it feasible for people to address global warming issues and things like that. But they're also using artificial intelligence, machine learning, and so forth. Those are big panels here at Davos. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, John. I was just going to say, what is China's presence there? Now, as I remember, a couple of years ago, President Xi sort of lectured President Trump for not being in attendance. I wonder if Xi's there today. And I just bring it up, given their economic numbers. You know, they talked about the economy growing at, what was it, 6.8%, which is the lowest in about 30 years. So tell me about China and Davos.
Sure. They still have a pretty decent delegation, but it's mainly not their economic team, but people that are involved in economics in China. In other words, we both know it's a communist country, so I'm not going to fool myself into thinking that these CEOs are really not being directed by the Communist Party, but that nonetheless have great companies like Alibaba, you know, with Jack Ma and so forth, building his own version of Amazon and so forth. So the Chinese delegation is here. As far as the economic drivers, I have not heard if Xi Jinping is here, but I would say there's almost as many policemen as there are attendees of this conference. And when you count up soldiers, policemen, and the people you don't see, that the reason they hold it here, Stephen, is the security.
Yeah,
there's one direction in from the south and one direction from the north, and they can absolutely check everybody, and they do, unless you're on the train. And if you're on the train, It's much easier to get in here. That's the way I came in.
Are you checking what's your gauge of the enthusiasm there? I mean, I know yesterday the IMF downgraded their expectations for the economic outlook, not just for this year, but for next year as well. Are there concerns about a slowdown there?
There are, I'd say it's probably every third conversation is how much do you really think the public is cutting back on its consumption. In other words, the same sort of measurements we give in the United States, whether it's consumer sentiment or actual spending. And I heard that from French, from German delegations, from Japanese delegations. Everybody's worried about that. But most of them have responded to that question by saying the consumer is more robust than the governments are. The consumers are still more optimistic than the governments have been, and that'll help the governments, I think, move to a little better place as well.
Well, since we've been talking, it looks like the losses on Wall Street have been accelerating. In fact, the Dow is now down 394 points. I don't know if you've had much of a chance to watch Wall Street, but what's your take on what's going on today? Any?
I think it is exactly what you detailed when you said slowest growth out of China in 30 years. That is probably what's impacting sentiment. But I would also say that last time this happened, when they decelerated in growth, because that's still an amazing number, 6.8
right,
nonetheless,
right.
Like you say, the lowest in 30 years, I'd leave you with the last time it happened, China committed $125 billion. They still have the ability to commit large numbers like that, and I believe they will. At least that seems to be the message I'm getting here. So I would look for this to be more of a one-day panic on a bad economic, how you and I are measuring bad economic number out of China.
John Najarian joining us from Davos this year again. Listen, John, I truly appreciate you joining us. I know you've got a lot going on there. So thanks for taking some time to talk to us today.
Oh. I always love talking to you and being in the Chicago market with the best broadcaster at noon every day.
There you go. All right. We'll talk again soon. John Najarian. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Very happy that you're listening. And, you know, last Friday we talked to Ben Meyerson from the Chicago Tribune about this this growth in on-demand snow shoveling, snow plowing, things like that, sort of the Uberization of getting your driveway cleaned. And, what the heck, it's supposed to snow again tonight. So I thought we'd check in with one of the companies. Wills Mahoney is on a phone line. He's the co-founder of Plows and Mows. Wills, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, where are you, Wills?
So our headquarters are based in Syracuse, New York. So it's very fitting we're the snow capital of the U.S.
So. I was going to say, so you're no stranger to the snow than I guess. We're going to get a little bit here today. And so, what percentage of your business is snow plowing, and which percentage is the Mows part?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of people think the snow plowing is the biggest part of our business. It's actually the lawn mowing side. So it's about 25% of our business is on the snow plowing side.
I would imagine that's because you can count on the lawn mowing side more than the snow plowing side.
Exactly, it's much more predictable.
All right, so tell me how this works. So you're an app. I download the app. I decide that it's Wednesday morning. I got 5 inches of snow on my driveway. I don't want to deal with it, and I just contact you.
Correct. Yeah. We've got an app. You can also go on our website, plowsandmows.com, and enter a few things of information. From there, your job gets dispatched out to, multiple local landscapers, and they'll come out and plow your driveway.
And how long have you been up and running with this?
So we've been in business for about 5 years now.
Okay. And I was reading, I think it was in the Tribune, where they talked about, we had a significant snowstorm, maybe even a blizzard in November, and that you guys picked up 5,000 local users on that day alone?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it's when it snows, it's big business for us. Just this last snowstorm we had, 9 different markets all snowing at the same time. So it was pretty wild in the office.
So the 5,000 wasn't just in the Chicago area. It was region-wide or wherever you are.
Oh, no, just in the Chicago
area. That was
area.
In Chicago. Okay. All right. So you say, yeah. You know, say you get 5,000 people who call tomorrow and want their driveways plowed. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that volume on that sort of notice? Because if I want my driveway plowed, I want it plowed now.
Exactly. So it's always a challenge, but you know we have hundreds of trucks on the road. We use route optimization technology. So what that means is really landscapers are only seeing jobs on their existing route. So it's a very efficient process. And keep in mind, it only takes about 5 to 10 right. minutes to plow right. a driveway. So if route density is everything.
What's it cost?
You know, it last snowplow, the average ticket was around $45.
And that's for just I'm guessing than just a typical driveway.
Yep, for a typical driveway for snow plowing, you know, we have add-ons such as like shoveling your pathway, et cetera, which will bring the cost up.
And what's your competition? I know there's shovelers in town. There's another one called Lawn Love. What's the competitive market like here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are others out there. You know, what I can say is we're pretty confident that we're the leader in the space right now for snow plowing. We have definitely the largest fleet, you know, in the country.
Well, I worry about the 10-year-old kids who really just want to play games on the TV, but their parents make them go out and shovel their neighbor's yard. Are you putting them out of business?
I think there's always going to be a market for the 10-year-old kid, but you know, we only work with commercial grade equipment and professional companies at this time.
So the beauty is that I can call you for one time, and I'm not signing a contract, right? I'm not obligated to use you next time, or if it doesn't snow, I'm not writing you a monthly check. I'm just kind of paying you to clean my driveway when I want you to clean my driveway.
Exactly, and that's how a lot of people like it. And, you know, there's been a lot of winters, especially in Chicago, where it just hasn't snowed, and people pay these contracts, and they're out that money at the end of the year.
Do you have professional contractors plowing for you as well? So, you know, there might be a guy who's got 3 contracts on the block, but he could pick up a freelance gig with you too.
Correct, we do. So that's the majority of everyone that's working on our platform is, you know, it's a landscaping company. You know, they also have to have, you know, insurance, et cetera. So,
right. So
all professionals.
So in a way, you're getting the business for them. That they're not having to market themselves in some way. You're bringing the customers to them.
Exactly, and we're providing them with technology to help them run their business better too as well, and that's all free.
So I would imagine if 75% of your business is lawn mowing, you want mm-hmm. to use this 25% during the winter, right? To convert us to hire you to work in the summer. How do you get that done?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's the same process for lawn mowing and all of our other services. So, you know, it's a simple process where you get an instant quote. So people find it very easy to use, and there's no contract at all. So, you know, if you need your lawn mowed once or if you want it every 7 days, you know, we've got a plan for you.
So if I've got a party coming up and I don't have time to get the lawn mowed, you'll come over and do it.
Yep, a professional person will come on over and take care of it. For lawn mowing, it's as early as the next day.
It's called Plows and Mows, and both of those words are spelled with Z's, and Wills is spelled with an S. Wills Mahoney, co-founder of Plows and Mows. Listen, thanks very much for joining us, and dig out of Syracuse. It's not so bad here in Chicago, but I hope you have a safe winter.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Andre Darlis. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Pam Jones was following that water main break. Pam, I was watching it out the window here. Our studios look right down Columbus Avenue, and it was between Grand and Ohio, and the water was shooting out across half into the opposite lane. So, I mean, going across 3 lanes of traffic. When I started the show today, there was some fire equipment on that block near the Embassy Suites, so perhaps something there. But the water is off now. There's just a lot left over, and it's likely going to freeze if they don't get it cleaned up pretty quickly.
It looked like, Steve, when in the summertime when they open the fire hydrants, yeah, and you're not supposed to. That's what it looked like.
Man, there was a lot of
yeah,
water coming
it's
out
off
there.
Now.
All right, let's go to St. Louis now. On the phone line is Dawn Mansky. She's the founder of Made for Freedom. Dawn, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you so much. All nice to be here.
First things being first, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Mansky, yes.
Ah, very good. Okay, so I'm interested in this business that you have created where you are essentially helping women around the world who might otherwise find themselves indentured or in some form of sex slavery. How is it that you found yourself to this position?
You know, I lived in China for about 10 years, and I saw instances of trafficking happening there with children who were being brought into the big cities from very poor areas. The poverty makes them incredibly vulnerable to exploitation. Their families don't know what's happening, and people say, oh, I can bring your daughter, your son, to the big city. They can get a great job. And what they don't realize is that these people end up treating these children like slave labor. And I saw that. Trafficking was not the term that was used for it then, but I understood the concept. And when I came back to the United States, I saw a video of an undercover reporter that went to Cambodia and asked for the youngest girls he could find. And it just ripped me up inside. Wow. And at that point, I realized this isn't just a China thing. This is a global issue. And there are little girls, little boys being sold as slaves, being used for sex. And I just desperately wanted to do something to help fight this horrible.
I know that that is a situation that happens here in Chicago. I'm sure it happens in St. Louis, where you are as well. Yours is more of a global focus then. So how is it that you're helping? You're setting these young girls up with jobs? You're buying things from where these girls are already working? Or finish that equation for me. We might have lost Don. Can we try to reconnect? Don, are you there? We're talking to Don Mansky. We're going to try to reconnect with her. She set up this company, and it's called... she's the founder of Made for Freedom. So the idea is that she identifies these companies or these organizations around the world where young girls who might otherwise be involved in trafficking in one way or another make things, whether it's a belt, a shoe, a necklace, or things like that, and then they produce them for sale. Dawn, as I understand it, brings those products then back into the U.S., and you can buy them from her website, or I think she does some craft shows as well. So we're trying to reconnect with Don, having a little difficulty there with the phone line. So we'll do that. A little bit later in the program, we're going to go to White Castle, very different topic. But, you know, I never knew this really until a year or so ago, but White Castle is big on Valentine's Day. All right, we reconnected with Don. Sorry about that, Don.
Sorry,
we went from you to White Castle. I'm not sure how that happens, but so tell me then. So you identify what co-ops around the world that help these girls, and then you sell their products here?
Yeah. So what we have found is dignified employment is a huge part of reducing vulnerabilities for those who are at risk of exploitation, but also for those who have been exploited, and it keeps them from being vulnerable again. So we look for centers that are not only providing that safe space, but providing life skills, job training, and a very good job. So these women are making products. Some of them are survivors that are making bath and body products or jewelry or scarves. Some of them are marginalized refugees in St. Louis that are sewing and making products. But with that dignified employment, they are less vulnerable. They're learning skills that will allow them to not only achieve where they are, but also go into other areas and get other jobs.
How do you find them around the world, and how do you know what you found is reliable and safe for these girls?
I have visited most of the centers that we partner with. I did a research trip to India several years ago and visited with several centers. And then following that, I went on an 8-city, 4-country trip around Asia. So I've been able to visit in person most of the locations that we partner with. And just, we have a list of criteria that we evaluate partners on. And there, last year, we got a really nice article in Forbes magazine. And what I was excited about people coming to our website, but what I did not anticipate was all of the centers around the world that heard the article or read the article and said, we are working with similar women. Will you consider us as suppliers? Because these centers have their hands full rescuing, restoring, doing therapy, counseling, training, and employing. They need help getting to a larger audience. And we come in and fill that need and say, the more we can sell for you, the more jobs you can provide.
And how is it then that people who are listening and who might be interested in helping out can buy something?
madeforfreedom.com. All of our products are available there. And we also have other programs because we have found that there are a lot of people hearing about this issue and they desperately want to be part of the solution. So we have actually put together what we call DEEP fashion events, which DEEP stands for Dignified Employment Empowers and Protects. And what we do is we send a multimedia presentation, we send a box of product, and people can bring their friends together, educate them, raise awareness, and sell products. So they're learning about the issue and being part of the solution all at one event.
That's Dawn Mansky, the founder of Made for Freedom. Dawn, thanks very much for joining us. I wish you great success in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
You too. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. If you recall from the governor's race, the big selling point of Governor Pritzker was that he was looking to push the legalization of marijuana in Illinois. Chicago Inno reported that a new Starbucks-like app helps accept payments for the marijuana industry. The kicker is that in the eyes of the government, weed is still a federally classified drug, which means no matter if you bought it in a state legally, the government body of banks still looks at it as dirty money, so they can't hold it in their banks. That's where this app called CannaTrack comes into play. It offers transparency for the industry and helps their money move freely between customers and vendors. Either way, the tides will be changing with the industry soon. And soon, Loyola and Palos Health will be one. Trinity Health, who owns Loyola Medicine, is expanding their academic arm to the independent Palos Health. Palos has been on Loyola Health's radar for a while, especially since they finished up a project of an 83,000 square foot expansion. So no matter how you get your treatments, traditional or new, there's always business to be done. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, everyone goes out for dinner, right? On Valentine's Day, you need to take your sweetie somewhere nice. Who knew about White Castle? This is something altogether new to me. I just learned about it, I don't know, within the past year or so. But for 28 years, apparently, White Castle has been a go-to spot when it comes to Valentine's Day dinner. Jamie Richardson's on the phone line now. He's a VP at White Castle, VP at WC. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
All right, so how did it start that people started going to White Castle to celebrate Valentine's Day?
Well, we've been transforming White Castles into love castles now every Valentine's Day for 28 years, if you can believe that. And it started, like a lot of our best ideas, with an idea from a couple of our general managers, one who was in St. Louis, one in Minneapolis, to have reservations for Valentine's Day. And I'll tell you, we put out the white tablecloth, we bring in some candlelight, occasionally someone with a cello shows up. But this year we're expecting over 30,000 guests to join us for the most romantic meal of the year.
Well, you guys are pretty funny in some of your press releases. You know, I read those, but, you know, they kind of end with a press release. It's a joke, but this is a real deal, right? This has got to be, when you look at your nights of the year, this is probably a pretty big night for you.
Oh, it's a huge night. Our 10,000 team members love it. They roll out the red carpet, literally, to make this a really special evening. And I will guarantee there'll be proposals, there'll be renewal of vows, and all kinds of other great things are going to happen this Thursday, February 14th at the castle. So it's something we really look forward to, and it's been very, very successful and a lot of fun and making memorable moments for our guests.
Can you tell me a little bit about how it's grown? I know you said you expect 30,000 this year. I think there were about 30,000 last year, but I mean, how was 10 years ago? Were you getting 15,000? Were you getting 5,000? Or has it really just grown in recent years?
Yeah, I'd say I'd estimate that in the past 10 years, it's more than doubled. And last year, we struck up a partnership with Open Table, the mobile app. So you can go out to Open Table and reserve your reservation now. I just reserved for my wife and our kids. And my goodness, I had to pick a much later time than I was hoping for. But I'm happy to get in. So
come on, Jamie.
Filling up fast. You and that partnership has been great.
Jamie, you don't know a guy who can get you a table?
Well, you know, we've got to put our customers first. I might have to jump behind the grill. It's going to be so busy. So it's a great time.
You mentioned the people who work there, your partners, and I would imagine they probably do get a little kick out of it because it transforms their workplace for a night.
Yeah, you know, we're really fortunate. One in four of our White Castle team members have been with us more than 10 years, which is unheard of in fast food. And of our top 450 leaders in restaurant operations, 442 started behind the counter at White Castle in an hourly role. So we've got great teams, and that's really part of the fun, I think, is that so many people get to share their love at the castle. And, you know, whether that's, you know, with a double cheeseburger or whatever it might be, it really makes the night complete.
What's with these new mac and cheese sliders? I'm not sure about this.
Well, we've got it all. So right now we've got a great Sloppy Joe that's in the restaurant, and we have, in addition to that, mac and cheese nibblers. So are like a nice little portions, very shareable, appropriate for Valentine's Day, of macaroni and cheese. So,
what percentage?
You know, all the comforts to get you through the cold days of winter.
What percentage of your stores take part in this?
100%.
Oh, do they?
So every castle takes part. And actually, look for new news early February. We're going to share more details. Have to keep it under wraps in case some of our friendly competitors are listening in. But we're going to have an ability to turn your home into a love castle by delivering a special Crave case package for those who can't make it to the castle.
So if you got too much important stuff going on at home, you don't have to go to the love castle. The love castle is going to come to you.
That's right. That's the way to do it. We've got great partnerships with different delivery folks.
All right. Jamie Richardson, how do people, and so again, you go to Open Table and you can actually reserve a table now.
That's right. And also on our website, if you prefer just to call and talk to someone in person, we have a phone number for each of our different cities that you can call and book a reservation that way. Or even easier, use the mobile app at Open Table. We'll get you set up. All right. You miss out on the 14th, we're going to take reservations for the 15th as well. So if you're part of that procrastinators club, don't worry. We've got you covered. We don't want your love to be extinguished this special time of year.
All right. Listen, Jamie, thanks for joining us. Have a great event.
Crave on, my friend.